In relation to the debate on neutrality and the issue of the triple lock being removed so Irish peacekeepers can serve in different parts of the world without having to get permission from the likes of China and Russia. One of those who contacted us is Cormac Williams from Killarney. He's with me in our studio this morning, and he made the point yesterday to the programme in a comment saying that over 200,000 Irish served in World War One. They were told they were fighting a war to end all wars and for the freedom of small nations. More than 50,000 died for that phantom promise. So the same promise excuses are being rolled out now. If Russia, China or Trump decides to sever the underwater cables from Europe to North America, they will be severed out in the Atlantic near where the Titanic sank in deep dark waters, not off the coast of Skellig Michael. Cormac, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, everyone.
Let me ask you about that sentence that you just said in relation to your email to us yesterday morning. If Russia, China or Trump decides to sever the underwater cables, these are the telecommunications cables that have been there for hundreds of years connecting Europe and North America. Did you ever think you'd even be writing that sentence, that an American president may take that decision, given how much has changed and how far he's gone towards Russia and against the West in the last 6 weeks?
Well, the man is obviously unorthodox, to say the least, and that's being very modest. But the world has become very dangerous, all right, and very unpredictable in the last number of years, but especially in the last number of months. But that shouldn't take away from our neutrality is 100 years old.
To your mind, that doesn't change the calculus we stand. Why not?
Because going back to the 1960s, Ireland made a significant contribution to peacekeeping, starting the Belgium-Congo, which was known at the time. And because of our neutrality, because we had no issues with anybody, because we weren't taking sides, that's what was the significance of the acceptance on the ground of people, and they wouldn't become a target where the area of conflict was. So that's what made Irish troops and others from other countries, made them so acceptable and made the missions successful.
And successful.
Absolutely.
That we were seen as an honest broker and
British,
a defence force.
The British and the French or the Spanish couldn't go to Africa because of their
colonial
history there. The Americans couldn't go because they were starting. The Russians couldn't go. But countries like Ireland and Austria and those small countries could go and be acceptable. So it was that. And of course, the blue helmets was the cap on the peace thing, because that gave them legitimacy and it gave them protection.
Okay, let me talk about the problem with that though. In order for Irish men and women today who haven't been sent overseas in 11 years, any no new missions in 11 years, because you would have to get UN permission to do it. Let's say we were going to put peacekeepers into Ukraine as part of some sort of peace agreement. We wouldn't get the permission of Russia. Or China, perhaps. So they have a hold over our peacekeeping duties. Is it not time to change that?
Perhaps. But really, I would say it's time to change the veto in the UN. And if from that point of view, where that if a majority of the Security Council decides to put peacekeepers in, then they could go. Now, as you say, clearly Irish, I believe, if it comes to Irish going to Ukraine, in general, they will, I think, be acceptable to Russia, because certainly I don't see any NATO country, I don't see British or French troops being acceptable in Ukraine to Russia, where Irish troops, and we'll say
there's where we're in a problem, because obviously we're speaking as things are moving and things are changing fast, and Donald Trump is tweeting every minute about different things, so God knows what will happen. But with that in mind, would it not have to be French and British and Irish troops, because of the fact that America have pulled away from Europe now? And what would be the deterrent for Vladimir Putin to protect those troops if it wasn't going to be an immediate response from NATO nations to him, keeping him in check? Nuclear powers, shall we call it, keeping him in check.
But the problem, if Ireland were to go in with NATO troops, it would, as I said, muddy the waters, because then Ireland would be perceived as being part of those NATO groups, which we're not. It would be, in my view, it would be far more acceptable to put, we say, Irish, Swiss, Austrian, or we say, those type of troops into Ukraine, which the Russians would have. I can't see the Russians having any big problems with those type of troops, which would keep the peace and monitor the ceasefire or any ceasefires that would be there, because that's all the troops can do. If the firing starts again, everybody's in trouble and everybody's in the front line and everybody's going to be killed. So it could only be under those circumstances that peacekeepers could go in and monitor the situation and keep a check
so
on things.
Change the veto at the UN, not the triple lock. Or maybe change it to allow the UN to
absolutely
give sanction.
In my view, that's the way to go, is to change the way the UN Security Council operates and have a majority of those on the Security Council.
Let me ask you a question I asked Donnacha O'Leary earlier on in relation to the... Do you think our defence forces need to be strengthened?
I have no problem with that, and I have no problem with strengthening our defence forces and for operating in our own territorial waters and in our own airspace. That clearly has to be done. But just to operate within our own territorial waters and within our own airspace only. That's my view. And outside of that, it should be a UN-mandated peacekeeping force wherever we go in the globe.
You said you felt that people who were arguing in favour of a dramatic change, even though the government are insisting we're not going to change our neutrality, however, we have to do more within the European Union to try and support and be unified and support operations in Ukraine, shall we say, that's what needs to be changed, and the triple lock needs to go. You're calling it warmongering. And this has been said in the Dáil as well. Is that not dramatic
it's
language?
Not, because
is it
it's
unfair?
Come up in every referendum that was came up about the EU and the EC and through going out over the last 20 years. Every government came out at the time and said it wouldn't impact neutrality. And, you know, as I said, we will guarantee that neutrality. And anyway, the reality is that I believe 70% of the Irish people support neutrality.
Do you still think that's the case?
I do,
given
absolutely.
What's this is the first time ever since World War II.
I do.
We have someone who is acting against the interest of the EU and ourselves on a business and financially. He's engaging in a war by other means. It was described by one of the premiers of a Canadian Canadian province yesterday that he's waging war by other means. This is the first time that's happened. You don't believe that would change that 70%?
I don't think
we're not in normal times?
It would, to be fair about it. And I suppose the worst scenario is that Trump is only going to be there 4 years, and hopefully in 2 years' time, if the Democrats can come take back the Congress, they will stymie him.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
There's a question, what will be left in 2 years' time?
That's the problem.
Of the federal government or the checks and balances or even the sanctity of voting in America.
I agree with you. But of course, if you go the other way, and that if war breaks out in Europe again, as happened in 1914 and 1939, the probability is it's going to be thermonuclear war, and there's going to be no winners there. That is the frightening prospect, you know. And I mean, that it won't stop.
Well, we've had war in Europe.
Yeah, I know.
And it hasn't turned nuclear, despite hundreds of thousands dead, unfortunately,
on both sides. I agree with you, but so far. But I mean, if it's going to become a clash of the what we call the superpowers with the nuclear weapons, that's the big danger, you know.
That's the danger.
We slip down the slope. I mean, if I often remember in 1961 during the Cuban Missile Crisis, there was an incident where the Americans dropped depth charges on a Russian submarine.
Yes.
What they didn't know was the Russian submarine had nuclear missiles, and the procedure within the submarine was that the two commanders would have to give the okay to fire on the American ship. Now only one gave one of the guys didn't give the order.
If that had happened, he saved the world. None of us would be here.
None of us would be here because that ship would have been blown to bits, and Kennedy would have to have responded. So that's how near chaos we all came. So I mean, it can happen, and it almost happened. So let's not go there. That's my view.
Yeah, and you think removing our triple lock will be a slippery slope to neutrality, that we will eventually lose our neutrality and be drawn into conflicts abroad?
Well, my view is that if you're sending peacekeeping troops without the UN mandate, I mean, you remove the protection from those troops, and they become then much more open to danger and more open to the conflict itself within the area that they are keeping the peace. So the blue helmets, in my view, are vital to keep those troops and that program of peacekeeping independence, to keep it safe.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen, look, Cormac, interesting comments. Thanks for coming in and taking time and giving us your view. If you review what Cormac Williams says, we need to hold on to neutrality. Do you think it's still 70%? Are you still strongly in favour? We'll talk about this with John Downing, with Call from the Dáil tomorrow morning as well, in relation to what's said in the Dáil.